Welcome to the Life Church Podcast. If you'd like to hear more from us, check out our website, lifechurchohio.com, or look us up on Facebook. Search Life Church Ohio. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Hello, if you're watching us at home, I'm so happy you're with us here. And I promise you video personnel, I won't be running around back and forth across the stage like I did the last time. And I went back and watched the video and I thought those poor guys trying to keep up with me as I move all over the place. I'll try to stand still. I've never been one. I always got S minus for stand still in grade school. I always got S minus for plays well with others. So I'll do my best to try to play well with others today. We're very pleased to be here, Meryl and I both, with you all again. We love you. We're so grateful for the leadership in this church. Aren't you grateful for the leadership that's come along? Golly, I'm just so grateful for that. And if I look different to you, if you've seen me, haven't seen me recently, I've lost about 60 pounds, and I've done that just by sheer grit. I've not been ill, thank goodness. I'm grateful for that. In fact, I found out I was healthy, and that only heaped more guilt on me to be healthier. So I did manage to have a broken back last year, but that's another story. Well, I'll tell you the story. Since you ask. Somebody asked me what happened. Ask me what happened, Bill. Well, I bought a new lawnmower, you see, and it's one of these real fast zero-turn lawnmowers. It'll run faster. It'll go faster than I can run. And I thought, well, that means I can mow fast. So I have a blacktop driveway. If you've seen the blacktop driveway, you know it stands proud about 3 inches. And so I was the first time out and first pass through the lawn, I was wide open. You know, grass was flying. And it says right on the mower, it says, most efficient mowing is full throttle. And I love that. God made this mower. So full throttle, and I'm blasting through there. And I hit that driveway, and it launched me into the air. And when I landed, it knocked the wind out of me. And yes, I was embarrassed. Nobody was like... It was like tripping on a sidewalk. You just look around and hope nobody's looking, you know. And so I shut down and kind of regained my composure and thought, man, not only that, but it hurt. Well, I finished mowing, but then when I finally finished mowing and I shut the mower off, I stood up, but I couldn't stand up. My back was, and I didn't realize it for several weeks. And I had great people, chiropractic doctors trying to help me and so on. And finally, they suggested, you need to see your physician. So we went to the physician. The physician looked at me and said, I'm calling an ambulance. You can't move because you may paralyze yourself. Your back is broken. So I managed to break my back on a lawnmower. So not proud of that, but I am kind of because I was full throttle. So if I'm going to go, I want to go full throttle. That's just the way I want to go. So, actually, it played into the discipline of my diet as well, because when you can't get up, it's hard to get to the refrigerator. And that worked; it all worked well for me. But I am healthy. Thank you. Some of you are worried. You see me. I have seen people look at me and they'll go, "Oh, you've lost a lot of weight." Like, so where's your cancer? It's kind of where they want to go next, you know? And no, it's not it at all. In fact, as I said before, I was delighted to find out that I'm healthier than I ever thought I was. And I've always said my body's better to me than I am to it, so I'm trying to recuperate that. So, but at 72, almost 73, I want to be able to maybe make 83. I want to aggravate you guys for a while yet anyway. Is that all right? Amen. If you have your Bibles or if you have a device that will open a Bible, go to Romans chapter 1. And I want to share with you your mission, should you choose to accept it, is the title of the message today. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is what we're going to talk about. So, what I want you to see here is, as we read about Paul, that Paul was called, and he makes no bones about it. I warmed up on the, we have a Wednesday group that meets. We meet for lunch and gather together, and I do a teaching there. And so I taught some of this then. And then Thursday night I was at the Out of the Boat Mission down at Logan, taught to those guys. That's still a really going group, by the way. There's about 40, 50 guys there Thursday night, all on fire for Christ. It's really an exciting place to be with those guys. And as I was sharing this, each time I would teach it, I would gain more momentum. One of the things that I find as a retired teacher is that momentum is important to what you're doing, and you lose momentum when you're not doing something on a regular basis. And so I was happy that I had a chance to teach this twice before I got to you today, so hopefully I've got some momentum now to teach this. But I want you to know that there's some really powerful things going on here in the very first few verses of Romans chapter 1. Romans is possibly one of the most dense theological books in the New Testament. By dense, I mean it's heavy, it's thick, it's weighty, it's really very important. Romans is an extremely important part of our Christian faith, as is another book, Hebrews. Paul is responsible for over a third of the New Testament. I don't know if you know that or not, but Paul was not one of the disciples that was in the upper room with Jesus. In fact, he was one of the Pharisees who was persecuting the Jews. You probably know this, but let me remind you. And then he had a conversion that none of you probably will have, and that is he was literally struck down the road by the very presence, the reincarnated Jesus Christ came back to visit him personally. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't had that experience. And when it happened, it struck him down and struck him blind. And Jesus said to him, why are you kicking against the message of my existence, in essence, is what he said. And from that point forward, Paul realized he had a personal experience, which is very important. It's parallel to your experience with Christ. You need a personal experience with Christ. You don't become a Christian by being religious. You don't become a Christian by going to church. You become a Christian by developing or inviting yourself into or inviting Christ into your life in a personal relationship. Paul had a unique conversion in that he was ordained, I believe, by God. Definitely, he's going to talk about that, to be converted. But his conversion was, in some regards, could be arguably said, was not his option. He was converted by a miraculous event, and that's a very, very unique situation in the Scriptures. In fact, I don't think it happens in any other time in Scripture, where a single person is brought to an experience with God by God's active disabling of that person in order for them to realize where they were. So you may not have that luxury. I doubt that you will. God is more subtle with all of us. God is more of a loving person, simply says, I've made the way for you. Now it's your choice. Paul was struck down. I believe Paul made a choice, but he made a choice under a very, very interesting situation. And you may not know the story, but he was blind then for several days after that until he finally went to a house and visited with another believer that Jesus told him to go see. And at that point, when that person prayed for him, it said that he was able to see again. And he came into the fruition of his calling. And that's what we're going to read about. So Paul, let me establish a couple things with you. Paul was not accepted by the disciples well. Even after his conversion, they looked at him furiously. They were worried about him. You may know this about Paul. Paul is, in Acts, we find out that Paul was the one who instigated and held the coats of those who killed or stoned Stephen, the very first martyr, Christian martyr. Paul instigated that. So Paul was an active agent against the followers of Christ, and now he's an active agent for Christ. And he's a Jew of Jews, he's a Pharisee, and all of those things do not align with what the disciples figured you needed to be in order to be a good Christian. In fact, the disciples were struggling in several areas themselves, and I'm not trying to besmirch their reputation, but the disciples were also still a semi-weakened group. They were filled with the Spirit, they were empowered by miraculous abilities, but they were still intellectually a little wayward because they thought that in order for you to become a Christian, you had to first become a Jew. And so they were struggling with that politic. They thought that it was a natural flow, that Jesus was a Jew, Jesus is the Messiah, so therefore, and we're Jews, and so the Messiah came to us through Judaism, so therefore you must become a Jew, and then you can become a Christian, because all Jews should believe in the Messiah, is their train of thought. Paul got it immediately that was not what Jesus was about. When he was struck down, when he came to his realization, Paul is a brilliant, brilliant man. In fact, if we're really objective about it, Paul outstrips every other human being other than Jesus Christ in the New Testament. He far outstrips them intellectually, capably, in every way. And he was that way as a Pharisee. He was a brilliant person. And this is why I think God sequestered him and brought him into the service. And he tells here why he's brought into that service. So let me stop explaining and let's just read what Paul has to say, beginning in verse 1 of Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who, to his human nature, was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, this is a run-on sentence, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The first four verses is a run-on sentence, which is very Hebraic. It's very typical of the Hebrews. They weren't nearly as worried about whether they were keeping your attention or not. And so, but Paul makes several declarations here that it's easy to get lost in. I don't know if Amy's watching this morning, but Amy Lively, who I love dearly, her testimony was that she came to Lancaster Community Church the first time because she had heard that someone was teaching the scriptures, and she wanted to study the scriptures more in depth. And so she came on a Wednesday night, and I started in a study of Romans, and I spent 3 weeks on the first verse of Romans. And she said, I thought then, I'm either going to have to last this out to find out what's going on, or I'm going to learn something. I'm pleased to say she felt like she learned something. But I'm not going to spend more than today on it, but you need to understand there's a lot to unpack here in just these few words. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, or a servant of Christ Jesus. This is a really astounding statement, because Paul, who is the Pharisee who hated Christians, is now the one saying, I am a servant of Jesus, who is the Christ. That's a very powerful statement for a Jew to make. And for the Jew of Jews to make that statement, he's saying, Jesus is the Messiah, no question. So, Jesus, I am the servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Now, I'm Trinitarian. In other words, I believe fully that God reveals himself in three personages, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I believe Paul confirms that here, because he refers to all three aspects of God in that regard. He said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God the Father. The gospel promised beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding the Holy the Spirit of God. And he goes on to say then in verse 4, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God. So he refers to all three personages here within just three verses and the fourth verse. So Paul here is opening with a very weighty statement, and I want us to catch some of the weight here this morning, because I'm going to refer to how important your calling is in your life. And Paul here confirms that his calling is very important. So he's making this comment. He's writing here to the church in Rome, which would be a very secular church at that point. Don't confuse the what we're saying here, the Church of Rome, with the Catholic Church. This would be before the establishment of that. And so he's writing to a group people who are both Roman and Jewish and pagan in many ways. And he's writing to these people for the purpose of saying, I just want to make it clear, I'm here representing God on behalf of his son, Jesus Christ, empowered by his Holy Spirit. And he said, I am an apostle. He doesn't suggest he's an apostle. He declares he is an apostle. I've taught this before, but I want to remind you that I believe in a Trinitarian teaching. It's important to understand that each member of the Trinity provides a gift to the world. God the Father provides the gift of talents and likeness into your life. In other words, you're born with the likeness of God in you. So you have certain gifts and talents. Those are God-given. That's from God the Father. So if you're a good singer, that's because God the Father has granted that. If you're intellectual or you're acute of mind, that's because God has granted that. Whatever your gift may be, you may say, well, I'm not very gifted. What's more likely is that you've just not discovered your giftedness. Because I guarantee you, you were made in the likeness of God, the Bible tells us. And in that likeness comes inherent things. And by that, I mean the word literally, inherent. You innately have inherited attributes of God. And whatever that is, whatever is clever about you, and you may be so clever as to think you don't know anything clever about you, it's because you're too clever to see what's clever about you. You are clever. There's something about you that's clever. You're adept. You have abilities. I didn't know that I could do certain things until well into my adult life. I didn't begin preaching until I was 50. I didn't plant a church until I was 50. And I found out that people were interested in following me as a pastor. And then I found out that's because I was gifted that way. And that'll lead me to one thing I want to talk about. That's one of the gifts Jesus gives. But God the Father gives you inherent talents. So God the Father in the Trinitarian portion of things, provides everyone, every person, no matter who it is, you can be the most, or I shouldn't say you can be, but you can choose the most dastardly, evil person in the world. They still have inherently been given gifts by God the Father. In fact, the very breath they're breathing is a gift of God. I want to remind you that if you want to be grateful for something, it's the breath you're breathing. You are alive because God has granted that. That's the gift of God the Father. Then Jesus Christ comes along, and Jesus Christ does something that I think is pivotal. Jesus says, not only are the things that God has to say to you important, but I want to remind you, there's nothing more important than my church. Now, I want to say that again, and you expect a preacher to tell you this, but I think one of the things we're going to discover corporately when we get to heaven is that the church, the local church, mattered much more to Jesus Christ than we realize it did. It means a tremendous amount to Jesus Christ. And the reason I know that is because that's what gifts he gives. He gives specific gifts for the specific purpose of forwarding the local church. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, it says that it was he, Jesus Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. I'm here today because Jesus Christ has gifted me to you. Now that sounds like I'm bragging. I'm not. I'm saying that's a brag to you. You've been gifted a teacher. Mitch and Laura, teachers. See, you've been gifted those. And that gift is a specific gift of the Trinitarian portion of God, Jesus Christ, his Son. And the reason that I say to you unabashedly that the church is more important than any of us give credit for it being is because Jesus Christ emphasized time and time again that he has come for his church. See, by the way, Jesus Christ is returning for the church. He's not coming back for individuals. He's coming back for the church. It so happens that when we accept Jesus Christ, we are brought into the church. Now, this is the second point that I want to make, and I don't want to sound caustic or like I'm have a bone to pick, but I want to remind all of us, you can say, well, I really don't need my church. I can sit at home and watch it on television, or I can do whatever. I don't need to be active in the church because I have a personal relationship with Jesus. But I want to say to you, you're missing what the reason Jesus allowed you to have a personal relationship with him. He gave you a personal relationship so that you could become active in the function of his church. Because nothing's more important to Jesus Christ than his church. And I don't have time to give you all the scriptural references on that, but I want to let you know that when Jesus gives his gifts are given specifically for the purpose of advancing the church. That verse, those verses go on, by the way, in Ephesians chapter 4 to say that he gives these offices, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the building up of the saints for the work of the ministry. So I'll take it just one more step. This is an old hack of mine that I've preached for years. I am not your priest. Mitch is not your priest. You don't pay him so that he can be your minister, so he can minister. He's not here so he can go to the hospital and pray for people when they're sick. He's here to teach you to go to the hospital and pray for people when they're sick. He's here to empower you and to teach you and to preach to you so that you understand that Jesus Christ has called you to be actively the church. See, we have a very Catholic approach to evangelical Christianity. We haven't moved far from Martin Luther walking across the street from his priest parishhood, nailing a 95 thesis to the Wittenberg door and declaring that by faith you're saved through grace and that not of yourselves is a gift of God. Not only was he declaring that, but he was saying the priesthood is null and void. And if you don't understand that, it's because Jesus Christ came along and made very clear, and Paul represents this very well, it doesn't say Jesus gave some to be priests. He says he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And what those are, an apostle is a leader of leaders. Apostles, evangelist is, you know what an evangelist is. That's somebody that is just hell-bent to get you to heaven. they're just going to do everything they can to get you converted. And then have pastors and teachers. And those are people, pastors are shepherds. They're the ones that will console you, that will direct you, that will, if you will allow me this, will herd you in the right direction. That's the shepherd's job. His job isn't to be the sheep. His job is to herd the sheep, is to direct the sheep, is to care for the sheep, to protect the sheep. That's the pastor's job. The teacher's job is evidence. You know what a good teacher is. The teacher is doing something like I'm doing now. See, I'm no longer your pastor. I'm a teacher now. But I do qualify as a teacher. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm teaching you. And it's up to you to learn. I'm only a teacher as you learn. I'm not a teacher because I declare it. I'm only a teacher if you learn. So that's the reason we have the title of the message today is your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to understand the calling you have. So Jesus gives the church these people, specifically these titled people, for the purpose not of interceding and becoming actively the church themselves, but for the purpose of administrating the action of the church, and you are the church. Now, this is a good place for me to stop and say, you really need to volunteer here. I don't even want to hear your reason for not volunteering. But I just want to let you know, your problem's with you and Jesus, not with me and the church. But if you're not volunteering here, you don't understand what it means to be part of a church.
It's really quiet in here.
I'm not trying to be hard on you. I love you. But I want to let you know, I'm telling you, if you'll get this message and get in gear, when you get to heaven, you're going to come to me and say, hey, Grubby, thanks for elbowing. Wait, somebody's texting me. Let me see what this is about. Oh, my order is ready to be picked up. I shut this off. Got a bigger carburetor for my mower. That's right. Yeah. I did. I put a shock seat on it. Yeah. Hey, I'm doing the preaching up here. So, I want to really encourage you, because I love you, and I want to say to you, if you think you're serving Jesus by being a saint and you're not serving his church, you don't understand what Jesus loves dearly. He loves his church more than he loves you individually, and he loves you tremendously. But he is crazy about his church. Why? Because he took it all and put it on the church and rolled the dice. See? He puts everything on church. Evangelism, he puts on the church. Shepherding, everything, he put it all in the church. He said, if it's going to be done, it's going to be done through my church. And this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. And that's what he's saying is, I'm called to be one of the ones who leads the leaders to set apart for the gospel of God. The reason you exist is not so that Jesus can say, I got another one. It's so that you can be active in his church as part of the gospel of God. And this is what Paul's declaring here in these verses. He goes on to say then, well, let me finish my Trinity thing. Of course, you're familiar with the gifts of the Spirit. That's often talked about in the church. But so we have God the Father, who gives innate personality traits and abilities. And then Jesus Christ, who empowers and positions people to lead the church. And then the Holy Spirit comes along and empowers every believer to accomplish the things that he wants to accomplish within that paradigm of the church. So now, as a teacher, I often say to people, and I've said, and I repeated it several times this week as I taught other groups, I'm not demanding that you agree with me, but I am teaching you in such a way that you must choose whether you're going to agree with me or not. But I want to let you know that Jesus Christ considers the church absolutely imperative. It's not just a maybe about whether you become part of a church. You, by the way, here's one of the mysteries of the gospel. When you accept Jesus Christ, you were grafted into the church. Now, this is why I don't ring a lot of bells about church membership. If you accepted Jesus Christ, you're in the church. I mean, that's what the church is, believers. That's what it is. See? And then when this gathering comes together, and I hope COVID will help you understand that getting people together is more important than we thought it was. Amen. That mental health goes down when people don't get together. Guess what happens to spiritual health? Spiritual health goes down when people don't get together. Guess what happens when people get together? Spiritual health goes up. Yes. See? My father-in-law just celebrated his 95th birthday, and it was fun for me. I live with him, so, you know, we just spend time getting aggravated with each other. That's what two old men do when they live together. Not really, but really. And I hope he's not watching right now. So, but I know I aggravate him, and there's times he aggravates me. But I really enjoyed watching about 30 family members gather around Monday to celebrate his birthday. And he was truly honored, and he was very honored. You could tell he was really honored by it. And here's the thought the Holy Spirit gave me. His worth is intrinsic. He can't do anything right now. He's mad at his knees. He's mad at his back. You know, he's a social butterfly. He would love to be out doing stuff, but he can't. He can hardly get around. He's 95 years old. He's still able, but when he comes home, he's wore out. I mean, he can go get the mail and be wore out, needs a nap. But his worth isn't in what he does. His worth is intrinsic. Do you know what intrinsic means? It means built in. When you come to church, listen to me, this is the Holy Spirit, folks. When you decide to get ready and come to church, you have brought intrinsic worth. See, you don't have to be here just doing something. I want you to do something. That's the volunteer part. But I want you to know, why does it matter whether you go? Because you bring intrinsic value. Just like Wayne is intrinsic value to our family. He's an anchor for our family right now. I mean, we shot dozens of pictures of groups gathered around him, you know, at 95. Intrinsic value. Do you get it? You have intrinsic value here in this place. When you come, I'm better because of it. When you're not here, I'm less because of it. I really believe. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I really believe that. And I think it's a valuable point to make. So as we wind this down, I want to remind you that not only has Paul been called, and Paul is unapologetic about his calling. One of the things that I loved, one of the joys of my ministry was to launch new pastors. And when I would launch them, I would say to them, your job is not to be successful. Your job is to do what you're doing because you're called to do it. So make sure you're called. Because if you're called to do it, it doesn't matter whether it works or not. You're responding as a servant to Jesus Christ. You're honoring your calling. I want to let you know that the Bible tells us that each of you here have a calling. You may not be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, but you have a calling. Let's look at some of that. Every Christian has a three-dimensional calling. Every Christian has a three-dimensional calling. We can go through these pretty quickly. The first dimension is God's calling is universal. God's calling is universal. No one is beyond the boundaries of God's calling. Mark 8:34 says, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Folks, that is a calling. He's saying, come on, let's go. You do know that that Jesus didn't say, okay, I've got my 12 disciples, now I'm done looking for disciples. He was stumping for disciples his whole 3 years of life, and only 12 followed him. Are you aware of that? If you think back, can you think of some of the illustrations in the scripture when people come and talk to him, and he'd say, all you have to do is come and follow me, and I'll make you, and they'd say, well, they went away sad. That was a calling. They didn't respond to the calling. By the way, your mission, if you choose to accept it, is you're called. You have a calling. If you're waiting on something to happen, you don't understand how it works. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, which is what happens when you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you don't separate Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Jesus. It's the Spirit of Jesus. And when you knock, when he says he's knocking on your door, and if you open the door, he comes in, and I believe he comes in fully. He doesn't come in partial segments. He doesn't send you a monthly bill and come in a little bit more every month. He comes in all at once, and he resides in your life, and then he waits for you to activate him within your life. You choose then whether you're going to respond to your calling, and you will effervesce or bubble up the Spirit. Your fullness of the Spirit comes as you release the Spirit that's already in you. Now, that's a teaching that I do that you won't find in too many churches, because most churches are very confused, in my opinion, about the Trinity. They think that somehow you can separate them. You cannot. When you've asked Jesus into your life, you've received the Holy Spirit. And you have within you all the power you need to be everything the Holy Spirit has equipped you to do. The responsibility comes, your mission is, will you choose to accept it? So as believers, you're empowered, then you must decide, you must choose how much of that you're going to respond to. And I could get lost in preaching about how to become a better responder. Let me just give you a few hints. Just give you a few practical things I do. I've learned to do this for years. When I say, for instance, I walk out of the house and I've forgotten my keys, but I remember that before I get to the car, I don't think, oh, good, I remembered to go get my keys before I got too far. I say, Lord, thank you for reminding me about the keys.
Yes.
Now, you might think that's silly, but that's how I become more spiritual. See, what happens is I begin then to elevate the Holy Spirit's importance in my life, and the more I elevate the Holy Spirit, the more he responds. It's not because he's fickle, it's because he's a gentleman. He's a gentleman. He won't impose himself on you. If you think, well, how come I'm not a spiritually dynamic person like other people I know? It's because you're not allowing the dynamics to expose themselves in you. You're afraid that somebody, you might look silly. And if you're afraid you're going to look silly, you won't get very far. Or if you don't like it encroaching upon your patterns. You know, the only way I could lose 60 pounds is encroach on my eating patterns. Because I'm telling you, I have three very important meals, and that's all day. I just stop one long enough to start. It's 11 o'clock. It's time to start lunch. See, and in order for me to accomplish what I felt like I needed to accomplish, I had to disrupt my lifestyle. I had to disrupt it, and it's not easy. It's still not easy. I mean, my fear now, and I'm using the word fear, I think, properly, is that I'll gain it back. So now I've accomplished this thing. I've lost 60 pounds, which, have I told you I've lost 60 pounds? I'm pretty proud of the fact I've lost 60 pounds. Just 60. 60. Did you hear that number? 60. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But it causes a disruption. But guess what? I feel better than I've ever felt. I don't remember feeling this good. And the same thing happens spiritually. All you need to do is activate the power that's in you. The Holy Spirit is alive in you. So you have a calling. The first dimension is it's universal. Every believer has that calling. Let's go to the second one. The second dimension is God's calling is practical. You're called to be a specific kingdom lifestyle called discipleship. See, the Bible doesn't say that he gave some to be disciples. Everybody is a disciple. Paul says, don't you know that you are called to be a disciple? You are a foundational piece in the church. Every single person is. I wish I had time to teach this. I'd rather do seminars than messages because seminars go longer. But you got to understand, the Catholics have kept two firm grips on the Protestant church. Number one, Protestant churches still think their preacher is their priest, and he's not. He's their cheerleader. And secondly, we still think there's a laity and a priesthood. We still think there's people who are okay to be normal. It's okay for me to be mafia if I want to be mafia, just so I go to confession. And then there's also the priest, and he's got to be the one that lives a good lifestyle, because after all, he's the priest, right? The Protestants have hung on to that, and don't tell me they haven't. I've been in it for 50 years. I know what I'm talking about. Most of you think that the preacher is a holier guy than you are. And I'm here to tell you, I am not. Just ask Marilyn. Billy Graham was not holier than you are. He was just called. See? There is no such thing as laity in the Bible. There's no such thing as the excuse to say, well, I'm just who I am. That's just my foibles. I'll never really be very spiritual because I'm just not a very spiritual person. That's like saying I'm not very active because I'm not an active person. You become active and you'll be an active person. You work at spirituality, you'll become a spiritual person because you're already gifted by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hear that? You're smarter people than you were when you came in the door. You know, the Father gives you certain things. Jesus gives you certain things. The Holy Spirit gives you certain things. You are fully empowered by the Holy Spirit to accomplish what he wants you to accomplish, and that's called discipleship. A disciple is somebody, see the word discipline in disciple? That's all it means. It's somebody who is disciplined about their spiritual walk. If the only time you get spiritual is when you walk in here, you don't understand discipleship. I'm not trying to be hard on you. I'm trying to be factual. 1 Timothy tells us, fight the good fight of the faith. You're not on a pleasure cruise. You're on a battleship. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. Say called, please. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. By the way, that's the only place you can make a good confession in front of many witnesses is at the church.
Amen.
It's at the church. Okay, in third dimension, the third aspect of our life is the calling. God's calling is personal. You are each called to be God's person where you are right now. And you just heard Paul talk in Romans. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. You are called by God, perhaps not to be an apostle, but you are called for the work of the ministry. The reason that Jesus Christ gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers is for the equipping of the saints, that's you. By the way, a saint, don't let the Catholic word screw you up here again. And I'm here to tell you, if there's good Catholics watching, I'm going to let you know. I think I'm going to be in heaven with a lot of great Catholics. Because they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Don't tell me all the stuff you want to tell me. I'm just telling you, anybody who honors Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is going to end up in heaven, because that's how the grace of God works. See? And what I'm here to say is, though, we still hang on to some very Catholic thinking. And one is the laity thing, the other thing is the priest thing, and the other thing is that you are called, you are not just the laity that goes out and lives your life and then comes in and confesses your sins, because after all, I'm just who I am. You are the saints. You are the ones called and set apart by God to do the work of the ministry. So, that said, we understand now that God's calling is personal. It's for each of us here. So, I hope that encourages you. I hope you're blessed by the understanding that you are probably more important than you ever thought you were. And the other thing is, I want you to know that God is much more excited about your calling than perhaps we are ourselves personally. God has called you, he's equipped you, and he has commissioned you. So I want to just encourage you wherever you are. When several weeks ago, Mitch had I think Mitch is doing an incredible job. And one of his messages a while back was really good, and he was, I believe he was in Judges where Gideon, where the angel of God comes to Gideon, which would have been Jesus. Jesus comes to Gideon, and he says, "Oh, mighty warrior," remember that response? And Gideon says, looks around like, "Who are you talking to? I'm just a guy here hiding out in a wine press." And there was something I wanted to add to Mitch's message so bad, and that is that who is Jesus Christ, by the way, in that situation, what the angel says to Gideon, he says, "Go in the strength you have." Listen to that. He doesn't say, "Wait for me to give you something." He says, "Go in the strength you have." Where does your discipleship begin? Right here, right now. With the strength you have. Because you are equipped, you are called, and you are commissioned. Stand with me, will you please? Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful people. Thank you that this COVID thing is starting to get behind us. I'm so sick of COVID. Anybody else sick of COVID? That was an ironic statement, wasn't it? Sick of COVID. If you know me, you know I'm a strange prayer, so bear with me if you're new here. Don't you feel sorry for the golfer that was 18 under yesterday at the Memorial? He's, 10 strokes ahead of everybody, and they told him he had COVID, so he has to drop out? I don't know why I went there. I'm so glad we don't have to drop out. That guy obviously has some innate talent. Lord, I just pray that you would encourage us to understand the importance of our calling. I pray that you would amplify our thoughts on how important our church is and how important this church is, how important every church is. Lord, I pray that we might be the kind of people that when we go by a church, we pray for that church because it means the world to you. Lord, I know that I love Marilyn dearly. I adore her. And when I find out something's really dear to her, then I work at trying to make it dear to me. And so, Lord, we want to make church more dear to us because I believe it's dear to you. Lord, I pray that you'll give us the strength and the power that we need to follow through. Give us the discipline we need to become disciples. Help us to realize that we're becoming a weak people that are looking for excuses instead of looking to become examples. And so, Lord, I pray that we'll go from being excuses to examples. We just pray this and we count on you. We thank you for your love. Thank you that you're not angry with us. Thank you that you are willing to wipe our slates clean, wash us white as snow through the forgiveness and the blood of Jesus Christ, and for us to march forward with the strength we have. And we just give you the honor and the glory and the praise for that. And everybody here said, amen. 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 God bless you. Have a great week. Thank you.